Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Has anybody in here ever been to a doctor's office? Show of hands. You know, for a while there, I was spending an unusual amount of time in a doctor's office. And, of course, they have reading material there for you. They have magazines and, you know, different things like that, things on TV to entertain yourself with. Because when you're at the doctor's office, you wait for a while, right? And so there was one test in particular I had to have done that there was an appointment to draw blood and a follow-up appointment, I believe, to draw more blood and compare the two, something along those lines. I can't remember what it was a test for. I think it was some sort of an itis, but I don't know for sure, but I'm almost positive it was an itis. And so I went to my initial appointment, and they took their blood, and they said, come back in this many days. And if you miss your appointment in this many days, we're going to have an issue because something about the blood goes bad. It's no longer an accurate test. You have to come back in this right amount of time. I said, absolutely, of course. And, you know, I was about 18, 19 years old, and I get a call on the phone. I'd completely forgot, and they said, you missed your appointment, and we will not be able to proceed with the follow-up appointment. You're going to have to return for a repeat of the initial appointment. So I returned for a repeat of the initial appointment, and they took the blood, and they said, come back in this many days, or the test will be void, and you'll have to repeat the initial appointment. And, you know, what kind of ding-dong would forget again? This kind. So I forgot again, and this happened more times than I am willing to share with you. And finally, I remember, you know, they started to know me around the doctor's office. Travis, we're really rooting for you. We think you can do it this time. And so I remember the final appointment when I came in, and my nurse went and got a few other nurses. And, you know, Travis, we've enjoyed having you, and we are glad that you finally made your follow-up appointment, and we will not have to keep repeating this. But, you know, we've enjoyed the time we've spent with you. But I spent a lot of time in the doctor's office, and I began to be recognized in there. But there was another reason besides my frequency of return. There was another reason why I stood out in people's minds, and that was because it was a pediatrician's office. And I graduated high school, and I never bothered to go out and find another primary care physician. And my, you know, pediatrician, he was a nice enough fella, and so I just continued to go there. And so while I'm in the waiting room as an 18, 19-year-old guy, I have all sorts of magazines there to entertain myself with, usually a Disney movie on TV, Toy Story or something. And, you know, you don't get that kind of a treatment in a grown-up doctor. But one of the books that they had available, one of the magazines there was Where's Waldo? Has anybody ever looked at a Where's Waldo? All right. Well, you know, I enjoy Where's Waldo, but I'm not very good at it. One of the things that makes Waldo so hard to find is not that he blends in. He's not wearing camouflage. He's wearing bright red colors. You know, you would think he would be easy to find, but the problem in finding Waldo is that there are so many people in the scene there that are dressed very, very similar. And so it's hard to tell the difference between Waldo and the rest of the people in the crowd. And unfortunately, as believers, sometimes we tend to look just like the people around us. And that is not what God intended. And it's not what God intended for his people, the nation of Israel. And that's what we're going to be spending the large majority of our time in tonight. So if you please turn in your Bible to Hosea chapter 8, and we'll pick up where we left off a few months ago. We'll begin in verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 8. Israel is swallowed up. They are now among the nations. Like a vessel in which no one delights, for they have gone up to Assyria, like a wild donkey, all alone. Ephraim has hired lovers, even though they hire allies among the nations. Now I will gather them up, and they will begin to diminish, because of the burden of the king of princes. Since Ephraim has multiplied altars for sin, they have become altars of sinning for him. Though I wrote for him 10,000 precepts of my law, they are regarded as a strange thing. As for my sacrificial gifts, they sacrifice the flesh and eat it. But the Lord has taken no delight in them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish them for their sins. They will return to Egypt, for Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces, and Judah has multiplied fortified cities. But I will send a fire on its cities that may consume its palatial dwellings. Now, as we continue throughout Hosea, there's a lot of things that are repeated. Hosea, Israel, you keep messing up. You keep worshiping other gods. And it just continues to repeat itself. So as we go forward, I want to focus specifically on the things that we find that are different. God is repeating these things so that the Israelites cannot claim that they don't know why they're being punished. But let's focus on some of the different things that stick out in this passage. First of all, we have this concept among the nations. Israel is among the nations. The idea here is that they have become identical to the nations around them. God picked Abraham special. And with the descendants of Abraham, he walked closely with them to make sure that they were special, to make sure that they were different from the nations around them, from the people, the pagan people around them, to show that the followers of the one true God are special. But they don't do that. They wind up looking identical to the nations that are around them. But the problem here, the biggest problem, is that they were warned that this kind of thing would happen. They were warned that this was going to be the result if they didn't live a certain way. So turn with me now, if you would, to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, verse 22 and 23. It said, "But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Termites," not really, "and I will completely destroy them." Now let's keep reading here. "You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets ahead of you so that you will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you, little by little, until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness to the river Euphrates. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not live in your land, because they will make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." They were warned. Listen, there's going to be people in your land. If you follow me and submit to me, the Lord says, and drive these people out little by little, then I will see that you prosper in this land. But if you don't, they will become a snare for you. They will be a trap. And you will wind up doing the same things they're doing. You're going to wind up worshiping the same false gods that they're worshiping if you don't drive them out. Well, to find out what happens, let's turn now to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, first three verses. Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers, and said, I will never break my covenant with you. And as for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they will become as thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. And this all comes into fruition. This all comes to fruition, and it has a large, large part to play in the reason of why Israel is going to be conquered by the evil Assyrians. And this is a direct parallel to our lives. We don't necessarily have Jebusites and Hittites and all these sorts of people around us that we have to go and kill. That's not what the Lord has for us today. But we do have sin in our lives. We do. We have problems in our lives. We have altars to other gods in our lives. We have things that need to go. And when we come to that realization, it's no reason to get down on ourselves. That's part of what makes us human, is having these imperfections and having these sins. But the goal should be to drive these sins out. And if we do not do that, then those sins will take us over. They'll consume us. And we will become identical to the people around us. We will become identical to the world. We won't look different. If you look back at the sound booth, first of all, you'll see two lovely people back there. But second of all, up on top of a hymnal on the ledge, you'll see a little bucket, a tiny little bucket. And in that bucket is a bunch of batteries. You can look at it on your way out if you're having trouble seeing it. Bunch of batteries in there. And as they go to replenish the batteries in the microphone, they use those batteries. And there's a little gauge back there to see how much life is in those batteries and see if those batteries are any good or if they're dead. And when you have a dead battery in your hand, what's the first thing you do with it? Throw it in the trash can. Right then. I'm not the most organized person, but if I have a dead battery in my hand, that thing's going in the trash because I don't want to get it confused with the good batteries. And then we have this big problem. If we continue to take dead batteries and throw them back in that bucket, we would have a real problem on our hands because they all look the same. Don't you wish that live batteries look different than dead batteries? If we're not careful, we're not going to look any different than the people around us. And it's hard to lead people to the Lord when we don't look like people who are following the Lord. Amen? Amen. God's people are supposed to look different. They're supposed to look different. If you go into John, you're welcome to turn there, John chapter 17. We see a very, very significant part of God's Word. All of God's Word is significant, but this particular place really stands out in my mind. It's a place that I return to often. And the reason being is because this is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, praying for us. Because he says, I don't just pray for my disciples right now, I pray for all of those who will come to know me through them. That's us. So right here in the garden, right before Jesus is crucified, he's praying for you. I don't know about you, but to me that's really cool. But one of the things he says here, like I said, when you understand the weight and significance of this passage, it really is important to note the things that the Lord says. If you look at verse 13 to 19, I'll go ahead and read it. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. So, as we look at this, we understand a few things. Number one, we see that we are not of this world. Our home is in heaven. We don't fit in here because this is not our home. There's an old bluegrass song, Poor Wayfaring Stranger. I'm a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this world of woe. And he just talks about how he's traveling through this world right now, but this is not where he belongs. He's heading home one day, and that home is in heaven with his Father. We don't fit in here. But we also see that not only should we just look different, that's not enough. We are supposed to look so different as Christians, so radically different, that those in the world hate us. That's what it says. That doesn't mean that we should be hateful people. It's not saying go around make it easy for people to hate you. But it says that we should be sanctified, we should be set apart with God's word. And when we follow God's word and are set apart by doing so, when we do that, people will hate us. It's the way it is. We should look that radically different from the world around us. But as you keep going in Hosea and you read verse 12, it talks about how God wrote his law. It says, 10,000 precepts of my law. He let his people know the way in which they should live. But it says that they regarded that law as a strange thing. They regarded it as a strange thing. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and you can turn there together, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, which your Bible might still have a marker in it from when Pastor Dave was there this morning. We didn't talk about that, it just happened. Chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. When you start thinking of the Bible as something strange, when the words of God seem strange to you, it's because you're thinking like the world is. When we do that, when we say, this just seems a little weird, Lord, we're thinking like the world is. Because the world looks at things of the Spirit as foolishness. Doesn't make sense. They look at it as foolishness. You can't spend any time at all in a college as a Christian without feeling foolish. It comes to a point in which you start to wonder if you're the one who's wrong. You spend so much time with people who are wrong that you start to feel like, maybe I'm crazy. It means you're doing something right most of the time. The people of this world, the people who don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, they regard God's law as a strange thing. They regard it as foolish. And in today's world, they also regard it as cruel. You're cruel to think like you do. You're cruel to have that view on marriage that you do. You're strange to have that view on sexuality that you do. I remember working in construction when I was just out of high school. And I met some very great people, some very nice people. But I remember the conversation would start to take a left turn sometimes. Pretty frequently, actually. Conversation would start to go downhill. And at that point, while I wasn't openly condemning these people, lost people act lost because they're lost. While I wasn't condemning these people, they could tell that I wasn't participating. They could tell that I lived my life a little bit different. And I remember having some conversations, even with very kind people that would just scratch their head. Why do you live like that? Why do you think like that? It's just strange. People who don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them view the law of God as a strange and foolish thing. But just because of that, just because that's something that the world is always going to do, that doesn't mean that we're living wrong. We should never be discouraged in doing right. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. We need to continue to do what's right, even when people around us start to make us feel like we're crazy. Continue to do what's right. Dare to look different than the world. As we went on the fall retreat with the kids, which we saw pictures of this morning, we spent all our time really talking about light. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. He stepped down into the darkness of this world, and it says that the darkness did not understand it. It also said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Not because the light puts the problem there, but because the light reveals the problem around us. It reveals the problem. One of my favorite preachers is J. Vernon McGee, so I consult what he has to say pretty often. And he talks about how he went on a hunting trip, and all of a sudden, the bottom fell out and it was raining. And he was looking for a place to kind of find some shelter from that rain. So he stepped into a cave and he was very happy being in that cave. He was dry. Very happy to be in that dry place. But he couldn't see anything, so he struck a match. And when he did, he noticed that that place was slam full. That's an expression we use down where I come from, slam full. It was slam full of spiders and cobwebs and just all kinds of creepy crawly things. And there up on a rock looking straight at him was a curled up snake. Yeah, so he was not as happy as he was before he lit that match. That match didn't create that atmosphere. The match didn't put the spiders there. The match didn't put the snake there. But it revealed that it was there. And when the world sees what's around them, they want to blow out the flame. And as Jesus ascended into heaven, he told us his Spirit was coming. The Holy Spirit was coming down from heaven. And when it did, it appeared as fire. And at that point, the disciples of Jesus Christ, us, became that light that Jesus was. And when we are in a place of darkness, we begin to reveal what's around people. But instead of getting out of the cave that they're in, they'd rather just blow out the flame and just be as happy as they were before. It's the truth, because they regard the law of God as a strange thing. They don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate having the problems and the scary things and the sin in their lives revealed. They don't appreciate that. They regard it as a strange thing. But brothers and sisters, you got to keep on shining. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Some of the deepest theology is taught in Sunday school songs. You got to keep on shining. Even when everyone else in the world calls you a freak for doing so. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the light within us that is your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that in this time of just turmoil in the world, in this time of sin and people thinking of what's right being strange and foolish, Lord, I pray that you will help us to be diligent, that you will help us not to act like the kingdom of Israel, but that you'll help us to dare to look different than the world does. That even when everyone else wants us to go away, wants us to be different, wants us to blow out the candle, Lord, I pray that we'll just keep on shining. Give us the bravery and the resolve to follow you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At this time now, if you will, please open up your hymnals and stand as we close with Come Thou Fount on page 11. We're going to sing the first verse together. Come thou fount of every
every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me